Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. Well, how many of you can't wait to open presents tomorrow? Let me see your hands. How many of you can't wait to open presents tomorrow? That's what I thought, right? The next question, how many of you remember the presents that you opened last year? Raise your hand. All right, that's terrible. That's awful. What about the year before that? Even worse, really. Well, you know, every year around Thanksgiving, we ask our boys to give us some ideas of what they want for Christmas. And so they'll start putting a list together that we look at, and then we pass along to their grandmothers and then to their Uncle Joe and Aunt Dana. And so when Christmas Day finally arrives, I mean, the boys are up at the crack of dawn. They're ready to open their presents. Well, that's round one. And round two is that we have to load up and head south to Oklahoma where more presents await, right? Now, we love to give gifts, and our boys love to receive gifts. So everybody wins. I mean, it's all rainbows, pixie dust, unicorns, right? For the most part. Well, not exactly. Because in time, slowly but surely, that present, that one gift that they just couldn't live without, starts to lose its attraction. The fascination fades, the interest wanes, and that one gift that they just had to have, they barely even noticed. You know, the greatest danger that we face during the Christmas season is the danger of losing the wonder of it all. You know, most of us are familiar with the Christmas story, and that's a good thing to be familiar with the Christmas story of how God came to this earth as a baby to save us from sin and shame, how God came into this world to open our eyes that we might behold him in his glory and that he might fill us with inexpressible wonder as we consider his inexhaustible glory. The Christmas story, the story of a willing and an able God coming to earth to rescue an unwilling and an unable people, is the greatest story of all. The best present this world has ever been offered was God offering himself to us in the person of Christ, the Almighty Creator, seeking our eternal good at the expense of his own life. So how is it that this glorious truth that fills our hearts with wonder on the one hand is a truth that sometimes we can become bored with on the other? How is it that we are so prone to lose sight of God's glory and turn our attention to lesser things that clutter, that capture and control our hearts? These lesser things are called idols, and these idols are dangerous because they are constantly competing for our affections. And I know this to be true because I speak from experience. I know from experience that there is nothing in this world more satisfying than the glory of God, more exhilarating than the glory of God. Yet these lesser things, these idols, have a way of diverting my focus from him and capturing my heart. Why is this? It's because familiarity can do a number on our hearts. When we become familiar with things, we begin to take them for granted. We stop examining them like a toy 6 months removed from Christmas. We stop noticing it. You know, when we're familiar with things, we tend not to celebrate them as we once did. Familiarity has a way of robbing us of wonder. And that's why it's so important that we understand that wonder is central to everything in our lives. Listen, whatever captures the wonder of our hearts, that will control the way we live. And that's why we must never lose the wonder of Christmas. You know, one of the things that we were really excited about after moving to Olathe was the Ernie Miller Nature Center, which is just like 2 minutes from our driveway. It's a 116-acre nature preserve with trees and trails and wildlife. I mean, it's really amazing. We were there once, and we were just a few feet away from a couple of deer. It's incredible. One of my favorite places or things to do, basically, is just watch this little creek. Basically, the water wind its way through this lazy creek, and there's this bridge that I like to stand on. It looks like something out of a Norman Rockwell painting. But Ernie Miller is like this picturesque preserve that provides sanctuary and serenity for city dwellers like us living in the concrete jungles of Johnson County. And even better, the best part about it is it's free. And I'm thinking, man, free babysitting. We could just drop the kids off there and we could go and enjoy ourselves. You know, I've seen the Jungle Book. I mean, Mowgli didn't turn out half bad, right? So I was convinced that Ernie Miller would become like a staple excursion for our family in the beginning. And now I'm surprised if we make it there a few times a year. You know, something that generated so much excitement in the beginning barely sparks the least amount of interest today. That is what familiarity does to people. Things that we used to really anticipate, we barely even notice. Now, it's one thing to lose a sense of wonder for creation, but it's another thing entirely to lose a sense of wonder for the Creator, who has given us the gift of Christmas by coming to us in the person of Christ. There is no greater tragedy than the tragedy of losing the wonder and the glory of the incarnation of God. God became man. Let me say that again. God became man. If this doesn't grip our hearts and capture our minds, if this doesn't command our allegiance and determine our desires and direction and priorities in life, listen, other things will rise to a level of disproportionate importance in our minds, way beyond their true importance. You know, as parents, ours is the task of helping our children discover the wonder of God coming to us over and above opening the next big toy. And as we're seeking to turn their hearts towards the wonder of the glory of God and the coming of the person of Christ, we must first determine whether or not we have lost that sense of wonder ourselves. Perhaps you're here today and you would be honest enough to admit that the wonder and glory of Christmas has become somewhat diminished in your life for whatever reason. If that's you, you've come to the right place. My prayer for you, my prayer for us is that God would reignite a sense of childlike wonder in our hearts as we take time to reconsider the miracle of the incarnation of God in Christ on this Christmas Eve morning. My prayer is that we would be deeply humbled and profoundly changed by what the incarnation tells us about the character, the plan, and the purpose of God. The incarnation is about this glorious creator, this God who is coming to rescue people who had forsaken his glory for the shadow glories of the world he created. And as is always the case, the glory of the created world, it is unable to satisfy us. Listen, creation was never designed to satisfy us. Rather, creation was designed to point us to the Creator who can. Every created thing is meant to point us to the glory of the Creator. And there is nothing more glorious than this Creator God coming to earth to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God took on human form. Deity took on humanity. We sing the story in our Christmas carols. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Veiled, the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Mild, he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. This is the story of the incarnation. This is the story of redemption. And this story defies comprehension. God came to earth on a rescue mission, listen to this, as a real, live, human person. There's only one word only one word that captures this history-making, world-changing, life-altering event, and that word is glory. God knew that our condition was so desperate that the only way that we could be rescued was for him to become a man. So the incarnation humbles us because it tells us that there was no other way that we could be saved. God knew that the sin inside of us twists our hearts and it distorts our desires and it controls our choices. And he knew that because this thing was inside of us rather than outside of us, we would never be able to conquer it on our own. God's law, as wonderful as it is, can expose our sin. It can convict us of our sin. God's law can guide us, but it cannot rescue us. God's law cannot save us. It cannot change us. That was never the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to show us our sin and then bring us to the Savior. The purpose of God's law was to lay us low before a just and holy God that we might cast ourselves completely upon the mercy of Jesus Christ. The reason the birth of Jesus is so incredible is that the incarnation offers us the only solution to the brokenness that is caused by our sin. You know, if the pen was ours to write the story of redemption, we would write a different form of the same story that man has been writing from the beginning. The story of trying to cover our nakedness, the story of trying to expunge our guilt, the story of trying to take away our shame through self-effort. The lie of self-righteousness is that we can achieve self-salvation through self-effort. And self-salvation through self-effort is what every religion of the world has in common. Man trying to work his way to God through his own merit. Man trying to establish his worthiness before God through his performance. You know, the only problem with this is that we can never be good enough for God because our hearts are indelibly stained with sin. All of the good we might ever do, listen, could never erase all of the wrongs that we have ever done. The good news of Christmas is that God came to earth to take away the stain of sin by taking this sin upon himself. God says to us in Christ, I want to take all of your guilt. And in exchange for all of your guilt, I am going to give you all of my righteousness. You see, salvation is not a goal to be achieved. It is rather a gift to be received. This gift of forgiveness is offered to those people who are honest enough to admit that they could never be good enough for God, and humble enough to admit that they need the Savior that God has provided. His name is Jesus. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The good news of Christmas is that God wasn't willing to leave us alone in the brokenness, in the hopelessness, and the emptiness of sin. Although we had chosen willful rebellion over glad submission, God refused to leave us alone in our defiance, in our ignorance, in our unbelief. Although God had every right to respond to our sin with judgment, he chose instead to respond another way, not because of what he saw in us, but because of what was in him. And what was in him was a grace that was greater than all of our sin. A grace that could break the dominance of sin in our lives and set us free to love him and to live for him the way that he intended from the very beginning. The Christmas story is about grace in its most amazing form. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords humbles himself. He takes on flesh and blood to become the servant of servants. The Creator becomes the created. The righteous judge of all, places himself at the mercy of man, wicked men who would judge him, even declare that he was worthy of death. The one who deserves everyone's love was himself subjected to being despised and rejected. God came to earth to deal with his image bearers who had turned their backs on him, yet he would meet our rebellion not with judgment, but with grace. This grace changes everything. The question that I have for you this morning is this: has this grace changed you? God loves you, and He has brought you to this place for a purpose. And it's more than just participating in a nice Christmas Eve service with your family. He has brought you here because He wants to bring you into a personal love relationship with Himself through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust that today you will open your heart to receive the greatest gift ever, the gift of God's love through faith in God's Son.